Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is November the 12th, 2021, Friday. Hope all is well. Everything's going just fine so far this morning. It's only 8:30 and no problems. The other day I'd already gotten in trouble. I dropped my kids off. So funny. The kids, you know, you drop, I don't know what you all do, but for me, we drop our kids off. It used to be 8:30 every morning. This year they changed it to 8:35. I'm like, fuck, you know, 8:35. It's like 5 minutes. It's such a big deal. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's like, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, if you have to be to work by 9, or I usually have something to do by 9, it's everything I can do to get from there to here in just in that 30 minutes, but take 5 away and all of a sudden it becomes a thing. And so yesterday, you know, and I'm always that, I don't think this is a character defect, but I push the rules sometimes, you know. You're not supposed to drop your kids off till 8:35, and like 8:30, I'm like, all right, guys, get out. I got to go. And so the principal called my ex-wife and let her know that that is unacceptable, Tom. So this morning, I dropped the kids off at 8:32. No, 8:33. So once again, I broke the rules 2 minutes early. I didn't get a phone call, though, this morning. So hopefully I'm not in trouble, but it doesn't take much to get my ass in trouble, and that's what happened the other day. But, yeah, so, you know, I was thinking, I've been talking a lot about, you know, habits and, you know, trying to recognize what got me there and try to recognize how to get out of there. And I've talked about procrastination. I think they all kind of go hand in hand. And then I was kind of thinking about, is procrastination a character defect? I mean, what is... I have to look that up. A character defect. I'm always about... I love talking about, you know, having character or becoming a character. And if I was going to talk about somebody, I would say, in general, my, I guess, opinion of a person or somebody would be based on the character. You know, someone, I forget, I was watching something or somebody said something, but someone said that they go through life and they treat every person as a character in a movie. Like you're living a movie, right? And these are characters that come in and out of your story. And, you know, if I was writing about this character and this character, you know, maybe stole something. You know, if I was writing a book and I needed a character that stole, that would be his defect, right? His defect of his character would be, oh, he's a great person, but he steals or lies or, you know, then I start wondering, you know, are character defects fixable? Like procrastination, is that a character defect or is that a shortcoming? You know, someone said I was at a meeting and they shared that they believed that they were one and the same. Character defects and shortcomings are the same thing. And I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I know that, you know, procrastination could be considered maybe a shortcoming, like you fall short. You could do better. But a character defect to me sounds like a real defect. Like if I bought a tire and it had a defect, there's no fixing that. I'm sending it back, right? Is that how we think of, or is that how I should think of myself? Like, do I have character defects that just can't be fixed? Do I have character defects that are fixable, so I consider those a shortcoming? I'm not sure. But I know that, you know, some of, you know, and I'll go back to procrastination. You know, there was a time where I was a big procrastinator, and then I worked on it, and then I became a lot better. And I didn't really consider myself a person that would procrastinate. But then over the years, I've slowly slid back into this procrastinating kind of guy. And so this character defect comes in and out. So I'm more thinking this is more of a shortcoming. This is something that I'm just falling short, like more work, better results. Right? So what is it that I can't fix? So a character defect, I would imagine, so if I pick up a drink and drink it, I can't stop. I cannot stop drinking. So this to me seems like a character defect. Like there is something broken in my character when it comes to me consuming alcohol and drugs. Something just isn't right with me. You know, I work, I've shared before that I, you know, I'm a hairdresser. So I have tons of clients coming in and out of my salon. I do podcasting. We do the Rehoboth Social Podcast, which is, you know, just trying to help small business. I have a lot of conversations in a day. And, you know, I'm lucky that I'm in that position that I hear a lot of different stories. And, you know, if most people that do know me or have met me recently and or maybe visiting me for the second time probably know by now that I'm sober, that I don't drink. So I tend to start hearing a lot of stories. And I had a lady in the other day and you know, she shared with me about a person that was in her life that was an alcoholic. And, you know, so I just hear all these stories. And, you know, I hear, you know, that apparently the person that she was discussing had many character defects. Sociopath, she said. I don't even know what that is. But a liar, you know, a cheater, drank too much. So what are these things can be fixed? You know, if I'm going to, like, look at myself, like, I know there is no amount of classes, there is no amount of meetings, there is no amount of conversations that's going to fix the fact that if I drink alcohol, I can't stop. There's nothing that's going to fix that. That's unfixable. That is a definite defect in my character. You know, if I was a... Do you ever play video games? You know, a lot of these, like, role-playing games, you start the game, and you get your character. I think the latest one that I tried to play, and I can't, I just don't have the patience for any of these games. But, oh, shit, now I forget the name. But it was basically a game where you traveled the world and fought dragons and whatever it was. And in the beginning, you build your character. You know, and you have, like, little... You know, bars. And if you want to be strong, you know, your fast comes in. Your fast goes lower. If you want to be fast, you're not as strong, right? So it's all these different, you know, you kind of pick your character and you shape your character. And I would wonder if there was a, it'd be funny if there was a character, what would it be called? A character, I don't know, whatever. Out of my pay grade. But if there was a part of the character choosing that allowed you to be able to drink or not drink, right? You know, like when someone, you know, whoever the higher power is that, you know, created me, if we're into that, said, okay, this one's going to have, he's going to have a weak character when it comes to drinking alcohol. That'd be a character defect. But the procrastination, you know, lying, cheating, all of these shortcomings, I feel we can work on and get better at. And procrastination is just one of them. You know, another thing is that I kind of shared about this week is, you know, I grew up with really, I mean, I felt like my life growing up was pretty normal, but it, in the end, I would have conversations with people, and for some reason I was so unavailable that I didn't have a lot to talk about. And so, you know, turning everything about me, you know, that's a shortcoming. Unfortunately, having it pointed out and feeling about an inch tall, I began to work on it, right? And so, but there's a lot of these little shortcomings that I could do better. You know, the latest, I had a person that told me that somebody that I know is on their third day without drinking. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And then they told me they don't want you to know. And I was like, uh-oh. And I think that's just because they want an out, I think. I think they don't want to be, you know, because unfortunately, if I'm discussing alcoholism or quitting drinking, and I'm in the conversation, you know, I'm probably expecting this person to try to quit drinking, right? Like I don't make it official, but listen, I've been doing this long enough. Most people know I'm sober. I haven't been shy with my story. I'm in it for the long haul. And if we're having a conversation about it, I'm probably expecting you to be in it for the long haul too. So people will say, you know, don't tell Tom. Because this person also said, hey, you know, I'm not saying I quit forever. So they have an out, which is fine. But, you know, there might have been a time in the past where I said, listen, you know, give them a call. Hey, oh, congratulations, you know, really. Squeezing myself into the conversation with a compliment, right? Congratulations, you're doing so great, so proud of you. And, you know, not necessary. I don't need to put my stamp of approval on every person that thinks that they or is going to try to get sober. My stamp of approval is saying nothing, right? I think that one of the biggest challenges for people, I know it was for me, is that once you start going to like a 12-step program meeting and you start to, and you're still like in that pink cloud and you're still a little bit in that fog and you're just following directions, you're just point me and I'll show up. And you know, you do that for a couple months, you know, right? You're so beat up, you're just like, whatever, man. And you start to become part of something, become part of a group. People care about you. And then all of a sudden those old feelings start showing up about drinking and you know, I know for me that any shit that ever happened to me drinking, give me a month and it doesn't seem as bad as it was. And that happens, I think, with a lot of people. And, you know, that moment where, you know, when you're, I was talking to a lady yesterday about, you know, these people just can't get sober. And I go, it's like walking down a hallway without any lights on. It's just this dark, long walk. And then all of a sudden, you know, whether it's someone saying, hey, well, stop making it all about you, or, you know, point out this most embarrassing, humiliating thing that allows a doorway to be kicked into that hallway and a chance, an opportunity for us to get out. And I think that happens for most people. And you come out and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But that starts to fade. And then we start forgetting how bad it was. And then it starts becoming like it's an option. And then we feel like we're already now committed to a group. So now we stop going to the meeting because we don't want to disappoint anybody. We don't want to have conversations. And then we just kind of fade away and fall back into that dark hallway without any light in it. And it sucks. You know, it's brutal. So, you know, trying to work on procrastination, I think that's where I fall short. That's a shortcoming. You know, lying. You know, there was a time in my life, I never considered myself a liar, but I remember lying about a few things. And, you know, about like being at a concert when I was a kid. I was looking at Facebook this morning and there was I grew up in Albuquerque and there was Ozzy came and played and I forget the date, but it was early. And I remember my buddy went, his mom took him and I couldn't go. And it was the last time that Ozzy played in Albuquerque with Randy Rhoads. And, you know, I didn't realize how important that was until clearly Randy Rhoads died. And then all of a sudden Randy Rhoads became, you know, the most amazing guitarist in the world, And then there was a point in my life where I started telling people that I had gone to that concert. And I didn't. It was a lie. And I wasn't really a liar, but I was lying about that. And it was always just to be fit in. You know, we've talked about being unique. It's all about being unique. As soon as I say, hey, I went to that concert that Randy Rhoads played at in Albuquerque before he died, bing, I'm unique. I'm special. Heads turn towards me. Now we're unique. Really? You went? You saw him? Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw him. He was awesome. Didn't. So if I ever told anybody out there that I went to Ozzy with Randy Rhoads, I lied. But, you know, and I look at it now and I think, you know, that was just trying to be unique. That was trying to fit in. Some people just have a natural ability to be unique. Some people just have a natural ability to be invited in, welcomed. Oh my God, hey, I don't know who you are, but you ooze uniqueness. Come and be part of our group. And then some people like me who did not ooze uniqueness, I had to make up little tales to try to... It's like that Seinfeld where George goes to that nightclub in New York City in the middle of the night, and he has a picture of, I thought it was, I don't know, it was his ex-girlfriend or something. I don't know. This beautiful girl's like, oh my God, that's your girlfriend? Come in. You know, you're at our level. And then the next day he lost the picture, and he tried to go back with another picture that he cut out of a magazine, and the lady's like, you think you cut this out of a magazine? He's like, I had a better picture. You know, he lost his ability to be unique, and they kicked him out of the unique club. And that's how I think, you know, I know, speaking for me, I know that's how a lot of the lies that I had in growing up, and any time that I would lie, it was usually about creating a story that made me appear better, that allowed me to be unique enough to be part of a group. And but you know, you work on that shit. You work on it. You try to figure out, do I have any goals? You know, I was thinking about this last night. What is our fucking purpose, really, of being a human, right? I mean, we got genitalia, so clearly it's about having babies, right? I mean, if we were 1,000 years ago without civilization and, you know, all this nonsense, and we just were born and grew up, and then, you know, took a wife or a husband and then had kids and raised them. I mean, is our purpose just to populate the planet? I don't even know. But I know that when I started coming into this program and I've been working on it, I bounced around this place for a while without any real goals. Just like, you know, just kind of mediocre in it. And, you know, I had to start, you know, I think I've talked about how, you know, at some point, if you're around long enough, you basically get to the top of the mountain, and then you run around the top of the mountain claiming, you know, fixing more shit, finding shit to fix, making shit up to fix. You know, what's my goal? I mean, clearly I didn't want to drink. I've achieved that goal. I do not drink. And then the word serenity comes. Oh, well, let's take a look at that. And you start learning about shortcomings. And then I'm like, okay, what's that? Oh, well, sometimes when you want to be unique, you lie. Well, how do I fix that? Let's work on that. So I think just trying to figure out maybe small goals. Is that a good place to start? Fixing shortcomings? Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you steal? Is it time to work on them? One baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you. I'm done. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just trying to figure out, I mean, what's the whole point of this, you know? I mean, we come in drinking too much. We fix that the first day. You know, I was talking about that yesterday. I said the drinking problem, we fix the first day. As long as we're not drinking, we do not have a drinking problem, right? But then you start having to figure out that if I don't work on some of this other stuff, drinking might seem like a good idea. And that's what it's in, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, there's people that will come in, and maybe it works, I don't know, but will come into a program that don't work on, that don't really put any effort into any program other than just coming to a meeting and not drinking. And if your goal is to not drink, that's a great, I mean, I always say, listen, if you can just get a couple days, you know, start to clear the cobwebs out, who knows? Who knows what's coming down the pipe, right? Just hanging in there. Just hanging in there. You know, last night we were watching TV and mindlessly watching TV, and SpaceX launched a rocket. I think they did it last night. They launched the rocket with the three astronauts, right? And the ship, you know, took off and, you know, floated around the Earth there. And then I guess last night they got lined up to board the space station, the International Space Station. And they had, you know, they're doing it live. So there must have been a camera on the space station pointing out to the Dragon rocket, right? And it was so weird. It's so weird that, because the way, you know, as we said here on Earth, and we look up and we see, you know, expansion of the universe and the stars and the planet or the moon and whatever we see, the sun and stuff. But when you're on the space station, or when you're filming from the space station to the capsule, it's very bizarre because you can't see the stars because the light from the Earth reflecting up doesn't allow. It's like light pollution, so to speak. So, I don't know. It was just bizarre watching this because this capsule is just floating in midair, right? There's no gravity. But the cool thing was is that, you know, they point the camera to the Earth and, you know, you look at this great planet that we live on and all the great clouds and water and land and all this stuff. And you think, wow, that's awesome. But then you start to, you know, you focus in. You know, and it's a lot like, for me, it's a lot like life. You know, it's very vague sometimes. And, you know, I can get so focused in on some dumb shit. It can ruin my day. You know, and I just can't seem to let it go. I just keep focusing on it. And I was watching this, and you think, you know, oh, what I'm focusing on, you know, whether it's, you know, clients, work, sobriety, money, fear, usually something I'm not getting, right? Fear of something. But I can't, like, let go of it. It's so important, right? But you see this, like, last night in these, you know, you have people focusing on things, and then you, you know, stretch the view out a bit. Next thing you know, like if I was sitting here just focusing on something, then all of a sudden you stretch the view. Next thing you see is a building, right? And then you go a little farther, and then you see the state of Delaware, and then you go a little farther, and you see the East Coast, and then the United States, farther and farther, and then you realize my problems aren't really that big of a deal. I can figure most things out. I can't live in the problem. I have to expand my view of the whole situation. I'll never, you know, my buddy Matt, I wish, if you knew him, you know, good for you. If you didn't know him, I'm sorry. He was really cool, really a great guy. But he would just say some things, and I've said it 1,000 times. As long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should be fine. That phrase, along with, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you. Those two things have a way of keeping me, it's not that bad, and there is a way to fix it. It's not that bad, and there is a way to fix it. Most of my problems, to be honest, are self problems. Meaning, self isn't getting its way, self's having a tantrum, and the best way to cure that is praying to God. Dear Lord, out loud, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning it over to you. For some reason, this miracle takes place, and it just fucking nullifies the self-centered fear. You know? It's like a thought running around inside my head, and if I don't say it out loud, it just has its way. And I like to create, like, these cartoony character scenario scenes that, you know, like, the prayer is said, and the fucking curtains blow open, and the light shines in the room, and self's like, oh, shit, and takes off. You know, it's like this funny cartoon thing that I seem to make in my mind, and it's for some reason, those two phrases or two sayings or two moments really create some understanding for me and what my problem is. And I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's it. Let's do a little reading. Time's flying by. Let's see, daily reflections. Here we go. All right, November the 12th, morning thoughts. Here we go. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 184. For many years, I pondered over God's will for me, believing that perhaps a great destiny had been ordained for my life. After all, having been born in a specific faith, hadn't I been told early that I was chosen, it finally occurred to me as I considered the above passage, that God's will for me was simply that I practice step 12 on a daily basis. Furthermore, I realized I should do this to the best of my ability. I soon learned that the practice aids me in keeping my life in the context of the day at hand. Yep. Step 12. Helping another alcoholic. After completing all the 12 steps, now my job is to be there, well, to use these principles in all my affairs, but also to be there for the next alcoholic, to have my hand out. And good or bad, I share my story with everybody. I'm an alcoholic. You know, the latest thing I was talking about the other day, because, you know, it's weird, but some things start to kind of come back to me. Like, I put them on shelves or bury them in the ground, and I don't want to think about it, but... You know, there, at the end of my drinking, I was doing a lot of coke, smoking crack. And that was a big reason I got sober. You know, the drinking wasn't a big deal, but the crack was a big deal. And I was sharing that, my story, with a client lady yesterday. And after I said it, I was full of shame. I was full of shame. But the reality is that's part of my story. And I think that, you know, people can deal with certain things, but when I say that part, I feel like that they're not going to like me. But that's my story, you know, and if I'm going to be honest about it, that's part of it. And, you know, but to, after I have every conversation, I always say, listen, if I can be of any service, if I can help get to a meeting, if I can do anything like that, please don't hesitate to call me. I'm here to help. So I try to put my hand out. I always try to have my hand out for somebody that's struggling with this disease. And yeah, so that's a great read. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye.